KALW.
From KALW News in San Francisco, this is Cross Currents. Context, culture, and connection from around the Bay Area.
Elmwood, Berkeley.
I live in Mahate.
North-ish, Oakland.
I live in the Western Addition.
Coming up, an East Bay doctor is on a mission to bring addiction medication to the streets.
This is an opportunity to do something today, as opposed to passing the buck to someone else or asking the patient to do something else.
And we'll hear why that medication is still out of reach for a lot of people.
Less than 5% of doctors have actually gotten the license to prescribe this medication.
Plus, a local musician finds his voice making other people's days better.
One woman hardly could talk, and she said, "Can you sing Folly Wally Doodle all day?" And he said, "I sure can."
Stay with us, Cross Currents is coming up. In California, deaths related to fentanyl overdoses are skyrocketing, and it's still hard to find treatment for opioid addiction. A medication called buprenorphine can help. It's more commonly known by the brand name Suboxone, but accessing the medication can be especially difficult for people who are homeless. So one Contra Costa County doctor decided to do something radical, bring medication for heroin addiction to the streets. KALW's Holly J. McDeed has that story.
Dr. Joseph Mega walks along the train tracks in Bay Point by the Delta. He's a doctor, but this morning he swapped his lab coat for a hoodie and the streets are his office. The people he's meeting today are homeless, and he's checking up on them. He's cheery and polite, almost like a camp counselor trying not to wake anyone up.
Hey, it's Dr. Mega. You guys need anything?
Dr. Mega leads Contra Costa County's street medicine team. A nurse and health insurance advisor join him to look for patients. It feels eerie and abandoned out here. Trash is piled sky high like dystopian artwork. People are camped out in tents. It's also remote enough that police usually leave the people living here alone.
It's kind of hard to find, so. In fact, there was a gas leak like 3 weeks ago where this whole area was evacuated except for these folks. No one came to tell them.
The area is full of yapping dogs and cats sneaking around. One of Mega's patients, who I'll call Ricky Johnson, stumbles out onto the path, looking dazed, like he's not sure how he ended up here. Johnson calls out for his beloved pit bull.
Chevelle Marie. Come here, baby girl. Come here.
Johnson is 49 years old. He has a beard, flashing eyes, and a habit of looking out into the distance, like he's thinking about other things. He lives out here with his wife. Johnson says he's been addicted to heroin for decades, ever since his dad died, and he went chasing after any high he could get.
So that's what a lot of us want, is that feeling. You know, that's the reason we do, is to push our problems away, you know.
Dr. Mega recently prescribed him Suboxone, a medication that eases the pain of heroin withdrawal and reduces cravings. Johnson says because of the medicine, he hasn't used heroin for a few days now. It helps him feel like he can actually get up and function, like he's normal.
You could take it in the morning, and the whole day is cool. You don't need cravings, no nothing. You know what I'm saying? You're just like, oh, cool. I'm gonna give it a shot, see what happens.
One reason it's so hard to quit heroin is that withdrawal is awful. Your muscles twitch, your bones hurt, you have diarrhea, you vomit. You feel like you're simultaneously freezing and on fire. Suboxone can ease that pain and ease cravings for heroin. Because of the street medicine team, Johnson can get refills without needing to make a medical appointment himself. Dr. Mega promises to get him a refill later today.
Well, I sent you medicine and Kimmy's gonna get it later and bring it over to you, okay? All right, let us know if there's problems.
Dr. Mega gets back into his van, a medical clinic on wheels. This street medicine team is part of Contra Costa County's Healthcare for the Homeless program. Inside the van, Dr. Mega can offer people things like vaccines, tests for diabetes and STDs, clean needles, tents, and sleeping bags. And more recently, the team can prescribe Suboxone for addiction. Dr. Mega is really happy the medication seems to be working for Johnson.
He looks fantastic. I just feel like his mental state is much more stable. I mean, the last time we saw him, there's no way he would have been able to sit and have a conversation with you.
Dr. Mega says he grew up with a single mother, without access to health insurance. So he trained in family medicine, hoping to find a way to reach people who usually fall through the cracks. Around 5 years ago, he started working in a county emergency room. There, he saw one addiction case after another. 50 people in Contra Costa County died from opioid overdoses in 2016.
That's 50 people that shouldn't have died. Like on any given shift in the emergency room, someone will see a patient who comes in, you know, in withdrawal.
When this street team got started around 2 years ago, Dr. Mega would constantly meet people desperate to quit heroin. At first, he referred them to the county's treatment group, but he found that people weren't showing up. So Dr. Mega says one day he decided to prescribe Suboxone on the spot.
I remember the first person who I prescribed to, who came onto the van, and I just thought, well, he's not going to get treatment otherwise, so it needs to happen here.
Suboxone can be hard to access otherwise. Only about 5% of the nation's doctors have the necessary waiver to prescribe it. It's also not easy to keep doctor's appointments when you live on the streets or don't have an ID or health insurance.
If you create multiple barriers to get access to something, they're just going to say, forget it, I can't do this. And so I think this is an opportunity to do something today.
There is a similar outreach program that provides Suboxone for homeless people in San Francisco. But other than that, this kind of effort is really rare. Dr. Mega says his team has offered the medication to 58 people last year. Some of them have continued receiving prescriptions. Others he's lost contact with. Sometimes they'll vanish for a few months before asking for treatment again. He knows patients will relapse.
We sometimes, like, we'll joke and call them our white rabbits because they'll show up and then all of a sudden they're disappeared. And we're like, where did that person go? And we feel like we're chasing them.
Dr. Mega continues his search for patients in the outskirts of Antioch, where dozens of people are camped out in a large field.
This all gets flooded when it rains and all these people are just, you know, in a lake.
There are a few patients he's been searching for today. A man whose toes recently fell off and a pregnant woman who's addicted to heroin.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, we're here with the health team. You guys need anything?
Over on the edge of the field, one of the outreach team's patients, Michelle Rickford, is sitting on a lawn chair doing a crossword puzzle. Her gray hair is tied in a tight ponytail. She's 58 years old, and she says she first tried heroin on New Year's Eve, 5 years ago on the anniversary of her son's suicide.
I had a $50 bill that was back pay from SSI, and I thought, that's it. I'm just going to go out and I just want to get high. That was my goal, and I've just been doing it ever since.
Mega's outreach team recently found her out here, alone in her tent, at the brink of a crisis. She says sores had formed on each of her arms, and she was dealing with this infection while in full-blown withdrawal.
It's the most excruciating pain you've ever felt. I mean, like you're trying to turn yourself inside out, you know?
So the outreach group took her to the hospital, where doctors drained the abscess. The team also helped her get started on Suboxone. For a couple of days, she took it. But then she went back to using heroin. She last shot up this morning.
And it's a vicious damn circle. It's a hamster wheel that you never get off. Unless you really, really want to. You gotta really want to get off it.
Rickford plans to try Suboxone again in a few days and make yet another attempt at a clean break. Dr. Joseph Mega considers that a victory. For him, it matters that homeless people like Rickford have access to treatment, even if it doesn't always lead to a lifetime of sobriety. He knows that Suboxone isn't the perfect solution. The doctors like him can only do so much.
If I held myself responsible for the outcomes of every patient that I've ever met, then like I'm really exaggerating like what I can do for people.
After seeing a couple more patients, Dr. Mega is done for the day. He hops inside the medical clinic on wheels and drives off. The team recently landed a federal grant to buy a bigger van and hire a nurse dedicated to following up with patients with Suboxone prescriptions. California plans to spend at least $230 million in federal funds for a program to expand access to medication for addiction by 2020. In the meantime, Dr. Mega and his team will be outside, bringing treatment to people on the streets. In Contra Costa County, I'm Holly J. McDeed for Cross Currents.
You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hanat Baba. Dr. Joseph Mega's outreach team is just one example of efforts around the country to bring anti-addiction medication to more people. Other doctors are bringing this treatment to emergency rooms and even jails around the state. This comes at a time of crisis. So many people are dying from opioid overdoses in the United States that these deaths fueled a decline in overall life expectancy in 2017. I'm joined now in studio by Holly, who reported that last story, to hear about why this medication is still out of reach for a lot of people. Hey, Holly.
Hi, Hannah.
Hi. So what made you want to learn more about the kinds of treatment available for addiction?
So a few months ago, my friend actually died from a heroin overdose.
I'm sorry to hear that.
And I remember while he was alive, I kind of found comfort in this idea that he was going to different rehab programs and there were people trained to help him. Mm-hmm. And then after his death, I started researching more. And it turns out that a lot of these rehabilitation programs, there's a huge variety, but it's really hard to study how effective they are. And there isn't a lot of sort of proof that they work.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing I started doing was I went to Reddit, and there's actually a subreddit there where people who are in recovery are kind of exchanging tips, either to reduce their heroin use or to quit. Some are quitting cold turkey.
Mm.
But another thing that a lot of them were talking about was this medication mm-hmm. called Suboxone. And so I messaged someone who made a post there. He had mentioned that he had gone to Highland Hospital, the emergency department in Oakland, and he was offered doses of Suboxone just on the spot. And he said that this was something that really helped him quit, and he described it as kind of saving his life.
Mm-hmm. So tell us more about Suboxone. What is it?
So Suboxone does two big things. So it reduces your cravings for heroin. When you're addicted to heroin, basically your brain just wants heroin 24/7.
Mm.
So this is a really big deal. People describe taking it as being able to feel functioning and normal because that craving, it's majorly reduced.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing it does is it makes it a lot easier to stop because symptoms of withdrawal are significantly reduced when you take Suboxone.
Mm-hmm.
A third thing that happens that is really meaningful for people is that if you take Suboxone and then you do shoot up heroin, you won't get a high from it.
And that works.
Well, so since Suboxone was approved by the FDA in 2002, a lot of research has been pouring in. Research showing that people who take it are less likely to fatally overdose on heroin and more likely to stay in treatment.
Mm-hmm.
But we can't really tell if it's actually impacting the epidemic right now because, first of all, a lot of people, most people who are addicted to heroin aren't actually getting treatment. And those who are getting treatment, it's unlikely that they're going to be getting any kind of medication for this.
Mm-hmm. So we just heard in that last story from a doctor bringing this medication to the streets. Why aren't more doctors prescribing this if it works?
So to get a license to prescribe this medication, you have to go through an 8-hour training course. And less than 5% of doctors have actually gotten the license to prescribe this medication. Others, they do have the license, but they're only prescribing it to, say, patients they've known for a while, people they really trust,
right.
Because they might not want to be known as an addiction doctor. Another huge barrier to this medication is insurance. Some insurance plans, they only let you take a certain amount of dosage each day.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually spoke to a doctor in El Cerrito who has a patient who was recently denied, the insurance company denied to cover his subscription. So that patient went into severe withdrawal, had a seizure, and needed to be hospitalized.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So there are some studies actually that show that one of the reasons there's such a huge black market for this medication is because it's just so hard to get it. So people are actually treating themselves basically on the street from it.
Mm-hmm. So this medication can help. We know that. So what's being done to increase access to it then?
So the good news is that here in California, there's actually a lot of money coming in right now, federal dollars, to try to bring this medication to more people. Mm-hmm. So there's programs around the state to bring this medication to hospitals, emergency rooms. In my last story, we heard from a doctor who's bringing this medication to homeless people on the streets. There's a similar program in San Francisco as well, a whole team that does this work. And then the jails in Contra Costa County are doing something that's really unique. They're providing Suboxone for inmates in custody. And around the country, that is almost unheard of.
Why is it unheard of?
So in jails, there's a big fear that inmates will sell the medication as contraband. Mm-hmm. So right now, around the country, the norm is that jails basically, if you come in with an addiction to heroin, you're going to be forced, usually, to quit cold turkey, which can be really agonizing on top of the trauma of being incarcerated. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, your cravings for heroin are increasing and your tolerance has dropped. So when you get out, you're significantly more likely to overdose and die. Mm-hmm. Which is why I was really interested in what's happening in Contra Costa County. So there, since 2016, the jails have been offering inmates doses of Suboxone, which is a way of offering people hope, really, to show them that there are treatment options out there. Right. And I spoke to an inmate who, he's been in and out of jail for drug-related crimes for the past decade. He was able to get Suboxone in custody. He takes it every other day now, and he hasn't used heroin anymore.
So after all your reporting, does it look like more people are going to have access to this medication?
I think that there is a lot of hope out there, but keep in mind that our whole way of treating people with addiction for decades has been through pushing abstinence. Mm-hmm. This idea that people will quit when they're ready to quit, and if they fail, that's kind of on them. Almost everyone I spoke to on the streets for this story, even the people taking Suboxone, they said something to that effect. But at the same time, they also said that if they had this medication, it would make quitting seem a whole lot more doable. Mm-hmm. So one professor I spoke to who studies addiction policymaking, she put it like this. So when she looks at what certain lawmakers are doing, what people who are concerned with this issue are doing to try to increase access, she feels optimistic. Mm. But when she talks to people who are addicted to heroin right now, mm-hmm. who need treatment as soon as possible, she just feels like the tide is turning, but too slowly and not nearly soon enough.
Okay, thanks, Holly.
Thanks, Anna.
Holly J. McDeed is our justice reporter. You can reach her at justice@klw.org. This is Cross Currents. I'm Hannah Baba. And now it's time for your stories. This is San Francisco StoryCorps. As a musician, you have to know how to deal with different types of crowds. Sometimes people aren't paying much attention to you, and they even talk while you're on stage. But other times, they give you standing ovations and beg for more. Well, Chip Curry used to play in different bands his whole life, but he didn't find his musical niche, you could say, until later in his musical career. On his 63rd birthday, Curry told his friend Diana Roberts about how he found his number one fans.
Right now, I'm making a living primarily as playing in retirement communities. And I played close to 170 shows last year. And I was remember that you and I were walking on the street. My sense of melody is not as good as yours, although you're not a professional singer. I remember I was having trouble with this song, and you still claim that I don't know this song. But well, finer than to be in Carolina in the morning. Nothing could be sweeter than my sweetie when I meet her in the morning. When the morning glories bloom around my door.
The big one is this, there's a birthday party that I played at a retirement community about, oh, I'd say, I guess it was a month ago. And these people were really ill at the beginning, and I walked in the door thinking, oh, no, I'm kind of weary, you know. It's hard to make a living at this, you know. I've got bills to pay. I've got a tree that needs to be cut down, and I was not in good spirits. And I came in there, and I started playing for them, and these people just came to life. A lot of them were lying in beds. One woman hardly could talk, and she said, Chip, could you play? And I just didn't even think she had the right song or anything, and I heard her. I listened very carefully, and she said, can you sing Folly Wolly Doodle All Day? And I said, I sure can. And these audiences are very forgiving because, you know, all you have to do is know one verse or a half a verse, and they love it. Because what you're doing is you're showing them, you're jogging their memories, and their memories take over after a little while. So this one particular show, I mean, there was one of the staff members, one of the orderlies, Rudy, who encouraged these people. He's a good dancer, and he just came and danced in the room. And after about 45 minutes of this show, he got a number of these people up dancing. And I'm telling you, they were literally on their last leg. These people could hardly move. These were ill people, but they got up and danced. And their faces were bright red, like they didn't believe that they could do this. And they just came to life. And I felt like I was doing something right. So,
all because of Folly Wolly Doodle.
Yeah, right. Many of the songs, yeah. So that's one, and I see this every day playing in retirement communities.
Yeah.
I'm amazed. I mean, sometimes I do 10, 15 of these in a week, and I never know what I'm going to see next.
Bring out your fiddle.
Okay. I'll bring the fiddle out. Let me just preface it by saying that, well, I took up fiddle in 1989. My mother died in 89 and left me a few thousand dollars. And I used the money to buy a mandolin and to have my grandfather's fiddle fixed up.
Well, I have really enjoyed hearing about you getting the older people out of their chairs dancing. I like hearing about you bringing joy into people's lives when they are, they seem to be beyond joy.
Yeah, I'm glad to be doing it.
She loves me too, sweet little Liza Jane. Oh, little darling, sweet little Liza Jane. Oh, little darling, sweet little Liza Jane.
Chip Curry spoke with longtime friend Diana Roberts at the StoryCorps booth in the Contemporary Jewish Museum of San Francisco. That piece originally aired in 2013, and Chip is still at it, playing music out of his hometown of San Jose. This music we're listening to is by Kamaya from Oakland. She's performing downtown at the New Parish tomorrow night.
and breaks you down. Never had someone to come and make you smile. You just need someone to come and show you love. You just need someone to come and build you up. Build you up.
Today's Cross Currents team includes Janae Darden, Lance Gardner, Sarah Nora Coast, Priya Mahadevan, True Gwynn, Marissa Ortega Welch, and Eli Wertschafter. Our engineers are James Rollins, Tarek Foda, and Gabe Graben. Content manager is Shireen Adil with help from Kristen McCandless. Our managing editor is David Boyer, deputy news director is Angela Johnston, and our news director is Ben Trefney. Our opening theme music is by the John Santos Quintet. For Cross Currents, I'm Hanat Baba.